Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
It's been an amazing series. Would you agree this summer? You know, just exalting, amen, thank you, amen. Exalting the Word of God, and that's just the thing that is so much on our pastor's heart. You know, Pastor Jess, just in this church, we believe in exalting the Word of God. And God says that He exalts His Word even above His name, because His Word is Himself. God, the Word, who is Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they're one. And so the Word of God, we need to always have it first place in our lives. Amen? And I think in this culture, in this day and age, we can tend to, like, look at our feelings so much. And we need to be intentional about speaking to our feelings with the Word of God instead of just analyze our feelings. Why am I feeling this way? And going off in that direction. But today I wanted to minister to you about the Word is the seed. The Word is the seed. Recently, or at least a few weeks ago, we'd had a lot of messages kind of about seeds, and we were talking about it around the table after Women Rock a couple weeks ago, and you know, Pastor Jess and I got to talking and stuff, and we agreed that this would be a great word for today, and so I'm believing it will speak to your heart and to your life. In Matthew 13, Jesus is talking about the seed and what type of soil it's going to be planted on. And he talks about the soil. He talks about the seed that's just scattered and it's on the wayside. And so it's just on the surface. The birds come and eat it. And then he talks about the hard soil, that the seed goes down into the soil, but there's a lot of rock under the surface, and so it has very shallow roots, and as soon as the sun comes out, it just withers. And then he talks about the thorny ground, that there's weeds that choke out the word, choke out the seed. And in his interpretation of that parable, he goes into the fact that those are the cares and the worries of this life can choke out the Word of God from having effect in your life. Do we want the Word to work in our life? Amen. And so that's why we have to not allow those thorny cares and pleasures of this life choke out the power of the Word of God in our life. But then he talks about the good soil. And we need to have good soil. The soil that he's talking about, when he gives the interpretation of this parable, he talks about the heart. And our hearts need to be good soil for the seed to be planted in. Would you agree? How many want to have good soil? We want to have hearts that are fertile and ready to receive the Word of God. And he said in Matthew 13:23, and this is your memory verse for this week, he said, "But he who received word on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So the fruit that we can bear in our lives is 100 times, 60 times, or at a minimum 30 times, if our heart is good soil and if we allow the word to be planted in our heart and to produce that kind of results as a result of living for God, as a result of our life affecting people. Amen? How many want at least 30 times fruit to happen through you? You know, maybe as a result of your life, at least 30 people would be saved eternally. Yes, what about 60? What about 100? If you got to heaven and there was 100 people that all came up and hugged you and said, "Thank you for living your life in a righteous way before me. Thank you for speaking to me about Jesus. I'm here today for eternity because of you." Do we want that kind of fruit in our lives? Absolutely. And we're playing for the long game, right, girls? We're playing for eternal values in our life. So he said that good ground would be the person that hears the word and understands it. So it's very important that we at first hear the word, and then we understand it. Romans 10:14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So we all have to be little preachers. Amen? Just because God didn't put a pulpit in front of you, your pulpit is in your home. Your pulpit is when you go to the marketplace. Your pulpit is when you go to work. Wherever your feet tread, he's giving it to you, and that's where you preach, and that's where you live. Amen? But he says, how can we hear the gospel unless there is a preacher? So I, for one, am glad for the preachers that God has had in my life. Do I hear an amen? I mean, those old cassette tapes of Kenneth Copeland, they're still in there, you know, different ones. And God wants us to hear his word. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you need faith in your life, hear the word, and hear the word, and hear the word, and think on the word, and get the word down in your heart, and hear the word, and hear the word, because that's how faith comes. Pastor Sue, pray they'll have more faith. Hear the word. Get the word of God down in your heart, because if your prayers aren't being answered the way you think they should, or there's a temptation in that area, or you don't see the manifestation in your physical healing or whatever, don't get all emotional. Don't condemn yourself. Don't do any of that. Just know, I need the word. Amen? That was free. That was some good stuff right there. And then we must understand the word. Do I hear an amen? We must understand the word. And I love John 14:26. It says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, listen to this, he will teach you all things. What does all things mean? All things. Especially as women, I love it that he'll teach me all things. Sometimes it's like, oh, just go like that. And oh, the liner does go on better. I was talking to a sister just yesterday, and sometimes our little fears and phobias, we think God, you know, he's God. They're too little for him, and they're too silly for him. He cares about what you care about. If you're concerned about the hair you saw going down the drain in the shower, and that's your concern, he cares about it, because he cares about what you care about. And he made us women. Amen? You know, he made us with that spaghetti brain. He made us with that we have emotions about whatever we do. He designed us that way. Now, the enemy's gotten in there and messed with it. But God made us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. And we're that softer, delicate side that he made. Aren't you glad? But the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, and I love this, and he'll bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. I love that, because in this day and age, I need the Holy Spirit to bring to my remembrance some things, like your name when you hug me outside and I've known you for 20 years. And can you tell I minister to seniors a lot? Anyway, he will teach us all things, and that's where the understanding comes in. God wants us to hear his word, to study his word, to be in his word, but then when we don't comprehend it, or we have a sense that it needs to be applied to our life, but we don't quite get it. Are you with me? You know, it just seems like your brain just quite, I know there's something there, Lord. That's when you talk to the Holy Spirit, because he's your teacher. He's your teacher. I tell people, you know, you've got a lap full. He's your teacher, and he'll get involved, and you stay in that scripture, and you let him take you to other ones that to help it come alive, and you talk to him about it, and he will bring understanding to you, because it's only when you understand it, it's only when you can apply it to your life, are you going to be able to live it. Do I hear an amen? That's where the rubber hits the road. We need to be living the word of God. And somebody said it recently, maybe it was me, that the only word that you actually really do believe is the word you're living. You can't say amen, say oh me. The stark reality is that we as believers need to work on our believing, because where the rubber hits the road, the way we live our lives is what we actually really do believe. And that can be sobering. I'm not trying to bring anybody into condemnation today, but we need to look at these things. And how quick are we to run in fear over a situation? You know, I'm preaching myself right now. We're all on this planet. And you can all have a weak moment where you yield to that. But then when the Holy Spirit catches you, jerk yourself up, slap yourself in the face, and get back on what you believe. Because it's not what the world believes, and you're not going to get it on Netflix. It's in this word. And if you're tempted, or if you see yourself yielding to the flesh in an area, then that's a check. That's a litmus test. Okay, God, even this morning, confessions of a pastor, I snapped at my husband. It was no big deal. It was just, you know, when you've been married 41 years, sometimes you expect them to act a certain way, and then when they do, it's irritating. Am I being too honest this morning? And I kind of snapped because I have this tongue that it can be used for God, or it can go another direction. This quick wit that gets me in trouble all the time. Oh my gosh. I could preach you a whole message on how much trouble I've gotten into lately. But anyway. But so, you know, I was a little bit nervous, you know, just my mind on the message, on the word. But then I yield to the flesh that fast. But praise God, we have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Helper who helps us. And before I left, I'm wise enough to know. I'm not bringing that into this. Before I left, I caught him outside. He was taking out the garbage. What a good man. And I hugged him and I said, honey, I'm so sorry. He goes, I know you're under pressure. And I go, I know, but I shouldn't have snapped like that. And he says, well, I didn't mean anything by what I said. I go, I know, it's just you always say it. And then I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry again, I'm sorry. Anyway. And as long as we're quick to repent, there's salvation. Amen, amen. Okay. I'm meddling way too much. But the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. He'll teach you about relationships, like he caught me this morning. He'll teach you about your physical health. You know, I recently, not too long ago, we had my husband and I are over the seniors ministry with our church, Senior Adults Living Triumphantly. So it's called SALT, and we're a salty crew. Where's my salty crew, ladies? Woohoo! Anyway, what was I going to say? Yeah, I used to be over a group called Senior Moments. What happened with that? it will come back. It will come back. Anyway, oh, there we go. We had kind of a testimony time because I noticed a pattern in talking with people that had received some dramatic healings in their life. And you know, we believe that the Spirit and the Word agree, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're three, and yet they're one. And so these things work together. The Word of God says that with Jesus' stripes, you're healed. But then also many times, the Holy Spirit will give you a personal word on how to receive your healing. Because Jesus never did it the same way. You know, I've heard of people having whole ministries that they always spit in the mud and they put it on people's eyes. It's like he did that one time that we know about. Well, he probably did it more because if everything was written that he did, the whole world wouldn't hold the library. Anyway, so, but, you know, we make a religion out of these methods, but Jesus had a different way for each person he ministered to. Amen? So we had a testimony time where each person shared the turning point when they received their healing, and it always had a word from God. He said to call this doctor, that first doctor that you had that you know, was with a different plan now or whatever, or go forward and have this particular minister pray for you in agreement, or the wife said, I just feel like we need to run to the doctor right now, and her stubborn husband yielded, and they went, and exactly the right person was there in ER, and he's alive today, you know, and so The Holy Spirit wants to get involved with everything that is important in our lives. And as I said before, even the things that aren't that important to someone else, but they are to us. So he wants us to bear fruit in our relationships, our physical health, our finances, evangelism. He wants to use us to win others to the Lord. That's really the most important thing, because that's of eternal value. And so if you're disappointed in that area, it seems like you just never quite say anything to anybody in any arena you're involved in, talk to God about it, because he cares about that person you're standing next to in the Walmart line. He cares about those relatives that have kind of just written you off. He cares about that we bear fruit in our lives and in our ministry and in areas of evangelism. What about our emotions? He cares that we bear fruit in our emotions. And what I mean by that is you need to be growing out of drama queen. Did you know that? The stuff that worked in high school, yeah, you shouldn't be doing that anymore. I'm just saying, I was involved in a situation lately, and I was like, whoa, are we back in junior high here? Way too much drama, over the top drama. Are you kidding me? As long as some of us have walked with the Lord, we can control our emotions. Amen? Because we have the Holy Spirit to help us. And so we need to bear fruit in these areas. We need to be growing in these areas. If the word is the seed that we need to plant in the soil of our hearts in order to bear fruit, then we need to plant the word in our hearts in these different areas of need. Then seek to understand or the wisdom that we need. And in doing so, we're going to bear fruit. Amen? Amen. We need to bear fruit. One minister said, the need is in the seed. So whatever your need is, look for the word in that area and then plant that seed in your heart. The soil of your heart is good now because you're hearing the word and you're letting the Holy Spirit help you understand it. But then we need to plant the seed of God's word into our hearts in the areas of our need, the areas that we need to grow in. So what are your needs today? I want you to be thinking about that as we talk, and I'm going to amplify that a little bit in a minute. It's God's word and faith in God's word that is going to produce the changes we need in our lives. Do we believe that? Do we really believe that the word of God will change us and can change us? You know, you can't just change yourself by just, I'm going to buck up and I've got this strong will and I'm going to be different by next Tuesday. You know, you might want to do that. You might try to do that. But we need to admit to the fact that we can't change. In and of ourselves, we can't. But the word of God has the power to change us, and we have to get that down in us and let it change the way we think. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2. It seems to come out in every message. I thought beautiful Nicole stole my message 2 weeks ago. It was I was going to talk about Romans 12, 1 and 2 because it's just always in my craw. But if you allow the word of God to change the way you think, then it'll change the way you act. And that's why I said a minute ago, you know, I like to say, will the believers please believe? You know, the evidence of our believing is how we're acting. That's the evidence. That's actually what we really do believe. So, number one, we need to prepare the soil of our heart. We keep the soil of our heart good and fertile by hearing the word and doing it and understanding it. And then number two, we need to plant the seed of God's word into our heart. As I just said, find what the word says in your areas of need. And I love it because Hebrews 4:12, and I don't have it on the overhead for you, but Romans 4:12, just listen to this. It's in the Amplified. It says, for the word that God speaks, this is the word he speaks, is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit. He'll help you distinguish what's emotion and what's the spirit. You know, your husband might say, we need to move to another city. And I don't personally believe that's ever the will of God. But, you know, you can move to a city as long as you're still close to the rock. But anyway, but emotionally something might hit you wrong. And in and of yourself, you don't want to do that. But when you spend time in the Word of God and you spend time in the presence of God and you talk to God about it, the Word of God will cut through that soul and spirit and many times show you what His will is. And as much as your emotions might not like it, there'll be that still small voice on the inside. There'll be that check, that little amen, that green light that says, yes, this is the will of God, but I don't want to. No. You're going to have a little fit. But once you have that little ping, that little green light, that little yes, amen from the Holy Spirit, then He'll help you with your emotions and you get in agreement and you go in that direction. Amen? I'm giving you a lot of good free stuff this morning. But anyway, the Word of God is powerful. It's energizing. I've always said it. It's so true. Within the very words themselves is released the power to live it. Do you hear me? It's a magical book. I hate to use that word, but it's not like any other book. It is spirit anointed. So when you get into the Word of God and you think on it and you look at what it says, within the very words themselves is released the power of the Holy Spirit to help you change and help you be what you need to be. Amen? So we have to plant the Word of God in our hearts. Do I hear an amen? Amen? And then let the seed do its work. You know, it takes time. I have one sister that is actually, she's like a licensed horticulturalist, whatever that is. And then another sister that just has this backyard that looks like Better Homes and Gardens. No, so I'm not to that extent, but I do enjoy a few, especially indoor plants, and I have some outdoor ones that I enjoy. But anyway, when you first plant a seed, it's just in the soil. You don't see it. It's dormant. So when you plant the seed of God's Word in your heart and you let the Holy Spirit keep watering it and you meditate on it and you're talking to God about it, then you've got to be patient with yourself, because eventually, you're going to be, as you continue to gaze into the Word of God, you're going to change in the areas you know you need to change. It will happen, but you've got to be patient and let the seed do its work. You can't flagellate yourself. You can't get mad at yourself that, why aren't I, you know, here I am, you know, 41 years of marriage, and I still snap at my husband, you know? But praise God, I married a man of God who forgives me quickly, and he'll forget about it. If I mention it later today, he'll go, oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's an amazing man of God. He comes by it more naturally. I have to really work at it. But anyway, but put the pressure on the seed is what I'm saying. The seed of God's Word planted in the good soil of your heart is going to come to pass in your life. It will. It will produce that which it was sent forth to do. As Pastor Nicole taught us 2 weeks ago, his word is not void. Isaiah 55:11. That was your memory verse. It will not return to God without effect. What it's sent forth to do, if you give your ear to it, if you plant that seed in your heart, it will produce what it's promised to do. Amen? So, and when you're in the Word of God and you're spending time in the Word of God, many times, you know, read other translations. Let the Holy Spirit get involved. We learned last summer, I think it was, we spent time and we did soap on every verse that we were looking at. And the soap method of study is to look at a scripture and then to observe it, really tear it apart. Let the Holy Spirit show you other scriptures that correlate and bring out a lot of the meaning. And then you let the Holy Spirit help you apply it to your life, and then you pray about it. And that's that method of soap that helps you meditate on the Word of God. So we need to do these things and ask the Holy Spirit, what is this saying? Knowing that He is faithful and He's going to bring that understanding. God's going to help you in your relationships. He's going to help you in your physical health. He's going to help you in every way possible. Amen? Then we have to decide to obey the word. That's where your will is involved. And it takes humility to admit that you're wrong and that you need to change in certain areas. And so come to God's word humbly, not just to memorize it so you know more scriptures so you can impress somebody at Thanksgiving dinner. You won't impress them. But humbly come to God's word and say, God, I need to change in these areas. Help me. And let the seed of his word be planted in your heart. And then allow the Holy Spirit to... Where's the scripture I read? Allow the Holy Spirit to get involved with your imagination. And I don't have this scripture on the overhead either, but Joshua 1:8 says, and you could find it in your Bibles because this is one that should just be a mainstay in your life. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous." You'll make your own way prosperous. How can I be prosperous? My family's always been poor. I'm third generation poor. And then now I'm seeing that God wants all these things for me. I mean, you know, that can be like almost a shock to your system to think that you could maybe enjoy an abundance, or maybe be able to be used of God to bless others financially. But it says that you'll make your own way prosperous and you will have good success. But it says this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. We need to say what God says about our situation before we just resort to our feelings, how we're feeling about it. It says you will meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that's in it. And that's where I've learned, you know, many times I'm systematically going through all the Gospels again, just finished John, and now I'm over in Mark. But when we see Jesus do the things that he does, it can be stories that you tell your kids or your grandkids, or it can be the bar that you set in your life for how your life should be. Because Jesus said, "The works that I do, you do also." I'm really meddling with you guys today. I mean, this is the standard that he has set. I'm just saying what he said. Are you with me? Amen. So when we see these things, it can't just be, oh, gosh, Jesus was so amazing. He was amazing. But he's commissioned us. He's told us to lay hands on the sick. He's told us to speak in tongues. He's told us if a serpent tries to bite at us, it's not going to harm us because we're carriers of the word of God. Hallelujah. And so he's commissioned us to do these things, and we have to do it by his power. So when you're reading through the Gospels, you're reading what they did through the book of Acts. I like to do instant replay and try to allow the application of that, the SOAP method, to come into my life and see how I would play that out. See a similar situation where maybe I did or didn't do that. Are you with me? And I believe that's why God has given us our imaginations, not just so we can be sci-fi gurus, but he's given us our imagination so that we can take the word of God, what God has said for us to do, and maybe we blew it, we didn't do it right, do an instant replay and let the Holy Spirit come in and show you in the air of your imagination how you should have spoken to your husband, how you should have handled your teenagers. Do I hear an amen? How to do these things. And that's where the understanding will come. The Holy Spirit gets involved with all of this. Amen? Amen. So we have to observe to do. We have to see ourselves doing what the word says do, and then we're going to have success in our lives because our lives will change. Amen? So we prepare the soil of our heart. We plant the seed of God's word. And then, these are all peas this morning. Then we pour water on the seed. Once we planted the seed of God's word in our hearts, it must be watered. And especially in the summer, You know, I don't know what was so glamorous about living on half an acre. We have to water a half acre, and we don't have all the hardscape because my husband doesn't like hardscape. He wants grass. When he complains about the water bill, I say, well, there you go. But anyway, but especially in the hot culture of our climate, we've got to water our seed every day. You know, I went about 3 days a few weeks ago, and I almost killed a couple plants outside because it is so hot in Southern California. Do I hear an amen? My horticulturist sister lives in Oregon, so she has big hydrangeas, and it's not Southern California. Anyway, so I say, you have water. We don't have water. But anyway, we need to water our plant. We need to water our seed with the word of God, continually be in his word. Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it, talking about the church. He might sanctify and cleanse her by the washing of the water by the word. And I love the water, how water baptism is such a deep symbol in our life. You go down in the water and it's like all your past is washed away. And then you're resurrected to a new life. And water speaks of life. Jesus is the living water. Amen. In the New Living Translation, it says, he, Jesus, gave up his life for her, the church, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. So we need to water the God's word, water the seed that's been planted in our heart by continually being in the word. 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And so there has to be that continual watering of the word that's planted in your heart and scripture that you're applying and you're allowing the Holy Spirit to help you with. Then number four, we need to place the seed in the sun. Seed has to be planted in fertile soil. It needs to have, it needs to be watered. You have to pour water on it. And you need to place the seed in the sun. A plant must have sunlight. And I say S-O-N, light, sunlight. 2 Corinthians 3:17, 18 in the message says, and when God is personally present, a living spirit, nothing between us and God, our faces shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. We have to spend time in the sunlight, gazing upon his face, spending time in his presence. The Spirit and the Word agree, as I said earlier. So as you're in the Word of God, then there's a time always where you just begin to worship the Lord and talk to him and tell him how much you love him and allow his presence to just saturate your very soul. And this is why I'm such a big proponent of being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit, but it's like the lights are turned up brighter. And there's a more of an anointing when you're studying the word. You can hear his voice. And then to be able to have a prayer language that you pray to him and you pour out your heart, things that are beyond your understanding. You can begin to speak to him in the spirit. And there's a precious, amazing, beautiful, wonderful anointing that comes in. And it just kind of seals that word that you got in your heart. And many times he'll speak a personal word to you to help you to apply the word to your life personally. And I love that he's a very present help in time of need. As soon as I snapped at my husband this morning and he left the room, right there was the ping. I was like, he's faithful. If you'll allow him to be, he can be so faithful in your heart and catch you on little things so that it doesn't become big things. Amen, amen, amen. So we need to spend time in his presence. Psalm 16:11 says, in his presence is fullness of joy. I love it, my little houseplants. This is actually a good exercise for them. When they're in the window, all of the leaves and everything like to turn toward the sun. They reach for the sun. They desire the sun. And so you turn every so many days or weeks, you turn it so that they're now this way and they've got to force themselves to turn again. It's kind of like plant exercise, I guess. Oh. But But we need to reach for the Son, want Him, want to spend time in His presence, be desperate for Him. Amen?
Amen.
The Spirit and the Word agree, as I said earlier. You know, we need that radiance of the Son. Isaiah 61 through 3 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth." We're seeing that. "And deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you." Isn't that amazing? That people would look at us and see the glory of the Lord? That they would actually see Jesus in us, no matter how thin our hair is or how wrinkly or any of that. When you've spent time in the presence of the Lord, it shows. Amen. It says, let me finish. "But His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light. The sinners shall come to your light. And kings to the brightness of your rising." The fact of the matter is we are His image bearers. We're the only Jesus they're ever going to see. And so by spending time in His Word, knowing His character, allowing the Word of God to begin to change and mold areas of our life and bring the change we need in our lives to be more and more like Him, then spending time in His presence, there's going to be the radiance that they will see and be drawn to Jesus. Amen? I love it. He says, you know, I was thinking about this as just kind of a sidebar. But I was thinking about, because I was kind of over in John, and then I went over into Acts in my morning study. But the Pharisees, you know, and the religious leaders, Satan, prompted by Satan, you know, they hated Jesus because He was just in their face. They were jealous that whole multitudes were following Him, so they were probably, I don't know if they're missing out on offering in the synagogue as a result or what was going on, but they hated Jesus and were jealous of Him. And He always made them look bad. And when He showed up and they asked Him about, "Are you healing on the Sabbath?" And he would just always make them look bad. You know, sometimes He'd turn over their money changers. I mean, you know, Jesus just was tearing up their system. Would you agree? So they hated Him so much that they were instrumental in His crucifixion. You know, it was all the crowd there, but they were the ringleaders. So then He's crucified, and He dies. And then He comes, 3 days later, He comes back to life. But then He doesn't stick around. He leaves. But then on the day of Pentecost, they're like, "Dang, I thought we got rid of Him." And now He's in over 120, and then after one sermon, there's 3,000. And so that which they plotted and that which they attempted to crucify the Lord of glory because they just hated the light, hated the conviction that He brought, hated all that. Now there were thousands just like Him. And that's us, guys. That's us. We're the image bearers. And so we need to see ourselves that way. We need to slap ourselves and see ourselves that way. When we get into the Word of God, "God, Jesus, You said You were with us, but now You're in us by the Holy Spirit. You said for us to do what You were doing." And so we've been commissioned, and others need to see You in me, little old me. Jesus, the people in my life, my neighbors, the ones I run into throughout the day, they need to see You, Lord Jesus. So shine well in me and through me. Amen? Amen. And so we need to apply the Word of God. As I said a few minutes, He's in you, and we need to give Him these areas of need and allow the seed that we need change in those areas. We need to allow the seed of His Word to approach those needs. And I was thinking about needs. We have felt needs in our life, and we have real needs. And many times we're looking at the felt needs, what we feel the need is, when there is a much deeper real need. And that's where we need to allow the Holy Spirit to work. For example, I'll just give you a couple examples. The felt need. I'm hormonal, I feel down, so therefore I have a right to feel negative about everything. I have a right to be moody and rude. It's that time of the month, or I'm in menopause, don't you know? Or, you know, we think that that's our need. We're feeling very emotional or feeling very hormonal. We're ladies, right? Am I the only one in the room that has hormones? No, this is where we live. So that's kind of your felt need. But the real need is I need to learn how to praise God when I'm feeling down and thank Him for all that is wonderful in my life so I can sense His presence and get out of this funk. That's your real need. The hormones will be or won't be with you until whenever. But we need to learn how to deal with them and how to still praise God in them and through them and allow the Holy Spirit to raise us up above them. Amen? A felt need. My body is still in pain, so I'm feeling very doubtful that I got my healing when I was prayed for on Sunday. So we get prayer. We believe right then. Sometimes they'll even ask us, what's your level of pain? Oh, I'm down to it too. You know, but then we go away, and the next morning if we wake up and we still have some symptoms, then, I thought I got healed, and we throw it all away. Am I preaching too good this morning? I'm just saying, because I pray for a lot of people, and I've been there. I'm not trying to cast any stones this morning. But the real need is I need to get in the Word and remind myself of what God's promises are to me. 1 Peter 2:24, that with Jesus' stripes, I was healed. I need to learn to walk by faith and not by sight, not by my feelings. And I need to learn how to stand in faith in the midst of pain, exercising my faith muscle so I can grow and receive. That's the real need. So again, as I said before, don't feel bad when you see yourself and what you feel like your need is and having all this confusion or upset. Just let the Holy Spirit show you, okay, sister, this is where you're at. So now let's get into the Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. Let's apply it to your body. Let's get back in faith. A felt need. I just feel like nobody likes me. No one is very friendly. I walk in the room and it seems like they all look the other way. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm gonna eat some worms. Where'd that come from? Anyway, I can't even blame that on the Holy Spirit, actually. But your real need is I need godly relationships in my life. I'm going to show myself friendly, like the Bible says in Proverbs 18:24. I'm going to keep putting myself out there, coming to arenas like Women Rock AM, where there's godly women, and get past myself and see where I can be a blessing in someone else's life. And so that is the real need. You may be feeling, you know, sorry for yourself, or maybe it was your birthday and you didn't get sang to like we just sang to Felicia. I talk to ladies all the time that say they've never gotten a birthday card from anyone in their family. And I'm like, I want to go to your house. I want to slap some people. But you can be, as women, we give and give and give. And so the negative side of that is we can be tempted to feel sorry for ourselves, right? Because we give and give and give. And once in a while, a little bit of thanks or a snotty nose hug. But not what we feel like we deserve. So then you have to let the Holy Spirit show you, okay, this is how you're feeling. But the real need is you need to draw near to me. Let me draw near to you. Let me fill up your love bucket. Know that Romans 5:5 says that He's poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Have yourself a little Bible study and choose to be friendly. If no one's being friendly to you, you initiate, you do intentional things and allow the Holy Spirit to meet that need. Amen. So we need to look at the real needs in our life, plant the seed of God's word in those areas. So in summary, we're winding down here. We need to prepare the soil of our heart. Amen. By hearing God's word and allowing the Holy Spirit to bring understanding, we need to plant the seed in that fertile soil, the seed of God's word. continuing, we need to pour water on the seed, continuing to meditate on God's word and allowing it to change our lives. And then we need to place the seed in the sun, spend time in the presence of God so that seed can begin to grow. In that process of photosynthesis, all those things are necessary. The soil, the water, the seed, the soil, the seed, the water, and the sun. All of that's needed for that plant to grow and be healthy. And we want God's word to grow and develop in our lives. Did you get something this morning? Amen. 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 Well, I was having a little issue with my tongue being tied, but it's all good. I want to talk to you this morning just briefly about where you're at. I don't know everybody. We only had two visitors that I saw, but then there's some that I just don't recognize as much. And you might have been invited here by someone, and you came graciously because it sounded like a women's tea party, right? And then you got here, and here's this lady telling you you need to change. What's wrong with her? Anyway, I want you to just think for a moment. Actually, I'm going to have you go ahead and bow your heads just so you can have a quiet moment with yourself. Just kind of draw inwardly. Don't let anyone distract you right now. And just, I want you just to consider your own heart and where you're at. I don't know where you're at, but maybe something that was said this morning just sparked a realization that you're not where you should be. You may have walked with God at one time. You may have prayed a prayer as a young child and come to church, even maybe been pretty faithful about coming to church. But you've never really made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, giving him all of your heart, all of your life. He's kind of got a room in your house, but he doesn't have the whole house. One person said at one time, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And so examine your heart, look at your life, and know, and just ask yourself, if Jesus returned today, would I be ready to meet him? As I said, you might have prayed a prayer a long time ago, but you haven't really been walking with God. You need to come back to God today. Maybe you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you still don't know. There's still so much doubt that fills your heart. You need maybe an assurance of salvation to know that you know that you know that you're born again of the Spirit of God. Or maybe you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life, giving him all of your heart and all of your life. Or you could be backslid. That's where you're kind of playing a game. You're coming to church, but you've got one foot in church and in Christendom, but the other foot's in the world, and you play a different game all through the week. You do a different lifestyle all through the week. If that's you, I'm talking to you. So on any one of those things, I'm going to count to three, hit this microphone, and that's when I want you to raise your hand if that spoke to you, if that is you, and then we will graciously lead you in a prayer all together for you to be able to come back to the Lord. You're just going to be right there in your seats. So I'm asking you today, if you've received Jesus at one time but not really fully surrendered your life and walked with him, I'm talking to you. If you walked with him for a while but then you're what we would call backslid, you're not living for him right now, you're lukewarm, you're half in the world and half in the church, I'm talking to you. If you need to be assured that truly you are born again, you need to pray the prayer and have that be a strengthened thing in your life, we can do that. And then if you've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Raise your hand all over this place. Raise your hand. I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Yeah, I saw one hand. Was there another? Oh, two hands. Okay, great. Anyone else? I've got these lights kind of glaring in my face. Anybody else? Okay, very good. Okay, well, two sisters, let's go ahead and pray. We want to give you the opportunity to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. So I want you to repeat this prayer after me, but you'll be asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Okay, everyone, let's just pray. Say, Dear Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I give you all of my heart. I give you all of my life. I turn from sin. I turn from doing my own thing. And Jesus, I now live for you. You are complete Lord and Savior. God, you are my Father. Jesus, you are my Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you for helping me. Fill me now with your presence and your power, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So, very good, very good.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.